Scripture today. So we will be in 1 Corinthians, and we're going to be in chapter 10, verse 31 is the only verse I'm going to read verbatim. And I always say, when you get there, say amen. Small amens, thank you. And the word of God reads, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." The word of God for the people of God. Today I want to talk to us about for his glory in everything. I want to really focus on chapter 10, where we're talking about Paul, who's speaking to the Corinthian Christians. And in the first 30 verses, like, he's reminding them of the Israelites and what they walked through and all the things that they have been through. And he is encouraging them not to be like the Israelites. And so I think about, you know, us today and how during those times, the things that the Israelites were going through, pressures, temptations, and compromise, it's the same thing that we go through here today, whether it was back when the Israelites were there, the Christian Corinthians, or us ourselves today. And so we're dealing with the same kind of things, but in these verses, in the first 13 verses, he reminds the Christian Corinthians that the Israelites were in the wilderness, right? They were in the wilderness. And when they were in the wilderness, they were covered by God. He provided food for them. He provided water for them. He saved them. He did all of these great, amazing things for the Israelites, yet they still sinned. He provided for them, and they still sinned. And then we move on to verses 14 through 22. And here, he talks a little bit to them about idolatry. And I'm sorry, not idolatry, let me back up. But he's talking about just how anything that competes with your heart is idolatry. Anything that competes with your heart is something you need to give up. That competes with your time that you are giving to the Lord. You need to give that up. You got to give it to him. And he wants so badly for each and every one of us to put him first. And so then through 14, 22, 23 through 30, he shifts to everyday life. He addresses the gray areas that we want to question each and every day. Is this okay to do, God? It's not quite sinning, but it's, you know, it's not, I'm not really doing any harm. And so what Paul is trying to explain to them is that, you know what? There are things that you probably can do, but maybe you should not do them. Right? And so it may not be an illegal law, but it's something that is not according to the word of God. And so once we get here to verse 31, he says, "But whatever you eat, whatever you drink, and whatever you do it for the glory of God." And so it was very simple that he said this. And he said, this is about life, right? This is about what you do in your life. God, do you present yourself before him to say, God, get the glory out of me today, right? Do you ask that question? No matter what you're doing, do you ask him, am I getting the glory out of you in what I'm doing? And so not even asking, you know, this question of what's wrong. We're asking what brings God glory, not just what's okay, but does this honor him? Is what I'm doing, is what I'm saying, does this honor God? And so, people of God, we get to this point where our lives have to serve him. And Pastor talked this morning about following the voice of Jesus. I talked about being a servant of Jesus last week. And so we have all these messages that are showing how our lives should reflect God, should reflect the following of Jesus Christ, to know his voice, to hear his voice, and to follow in suit of where he tells us to go. And so all of these messages kind of mesh together in some way, shape, or form. And we have to remember and understand that our worship does not end in this sanctuary. Our worship continues as we walk outside the door, the way that we drive, the way that we speak while we're driving, the way that we talk to our families and talk to our spouses. We are to glorify God in how we do those things. And so what does it mean? For his glory, what does that mean? So in Strong's, in the Greek, it means to honor, praise, and worship. And if you go a little bit deeper into the definition, it is to be of good reputation. To be of good reputation. And so we got to take a moment, and I urge you to do that even in this moment, to think upon your life right now and what you do and how you live it each and every day. And I dare you to ask the question, does my life glorify God? From the time that I wake up in the morning to the time I lay my head back down, is my life glorifying God? See, when I think about that question for myself, lately I've been having struggles with just my thoughts. What I'm thinking does not glorify God, if I'm being completely honest. And I've been asking God to help me. Lord, help me fight these thoughts. Help me fight this. I don't want to sink into this place of depression. I don't want to, like, Lord, help me fight off these thoughts. And so God reminded me that in Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So I have to glorify God in my mind in the way that I think by thinking about things that are true, thinking about things that are honest, thinking about things that are lovely. And if I'm thinking about what all those things are, they all point to the Most High. And so I have to take my thoughts and take them captive when they start trying to plant these little seeds in my heart of negative things that I feel or think about myself, right? And so when we think about yourselves, if you are having these negative thoughts, you remember Philippians 4:8, and you remember the things that you should set your minds on to glorify the Most High. And then we have when we are tired and frustrated and we're feeling all the things in our body, we got to make sure that we glorify the Lord in how we speak to other people, whether it's our spouse or our children or whoever it may be. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. How we treat people and how we speak to people, even when they've done us wrong, even when they have done us wrong, shows that we have a light inside of us that is different. It shows that it will draw those people to us, right? What do you got going on? Like, what you got in there? And that's your opportunity, right, to tell them about Jesus Christ. But then also, you get to glorify God in how you respond and how you react. And boy, I'll tell you, I've been tested this week with those kinds of situations. And I just fled. I was like, you know what? I can't even do it. And I prayed and I said, Lord, how can I give you this? Help me to give you glory in this moment. Help me to honor you in my words. Help me to honor you in my thoughts. Help me to honor you, Lord, in my worship. Because worship sets us free in the midst of that pain, right? And so as we continue to just think about this in a real light, we also have to remember that God is calling us to live our life centered around him. Not this is my God life and this is my real life. And I get to invite God into my real life every once in a while. It doesn't happen that way. We most definitely have to take Jesus and center our lives around him and who he is. And we have to make sure that whatever it is that's in this Bible is embedded inside of us, inside of our hearts and in our minds. And that's what Paul was trying to get the Christian Corinthians to understand. And we still, millions of years or thousands of years later, still can't get it right. And so he's preaching and he's teaching us and he's telling us that you do everything for the glory of God. Everything from the smallest little thing you can think of to the biggest thing that's magnified, you do it for the glory of God. And so what does this look like in our everyday lives? So I talked to you about our thoughts. I talked to you about just the little small things. Thoughts are here, right? And sometimes they can manifest and come out into actions. And so we got to nip it right here before it gets to our hearts. And so in that, we have to be so intentional with our prayer time and so intentional with our study time. And we have to remember that, yes, we are more than conquerors and that the Lord is our, he is our savior. And when we are saved as Christians and we make that decision to say yes to him, we are covered by the blood. And so if you have to remind yourself each and every day, then do that. But also remember that you are signed up for whatever job he has given you, whatever purpose he has given you, you got to clock in every single day. And your payment to, or what you give to him is glory. And we give a reward at the end of our lives to enter the gates of heaven. And so as we move on to the point two, what does this look like, right? And so what does this look like to have this glory that shines and that we do everything for him? In our words, and all of these are backed up with scripture. In our words, Ephesians 4:29, it says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." We are called to edify and to build up other people. If anyone is putting anyone down, it should not come from our mouths. We are to edify and glorify God through our words. And so in that, Ephesians 4, 29 tells us exactly what to do. So by no means are we to put anyone down. Point blank, period. It's very simple. The word says it. We obey, right? And then in our relationships, Romans 12 and 18. "If it be possible, as much lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." We are called to forgive. We are called to love our neighbor. And so our neighbor could be somebody that we don't necessarily like or maybe doesn't like us. But we're called to love them. We are called to live peaceably with all men, no matter who they are. We are called to forgive. And so anything that has kept you from another relationship or family member or whatever the case may be, we are called to forgive. And if we are not forgiven, what happens? He won't forgive us. If we don't forgive others, he won't forgive us. In your body. So we are to give him glory in our body. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. Speaks of those who will not enter the kingdom of heaven simply because we are harming our bodies through fornication, alcohol, drugs, anything that hurts our body. But verse 11 says, "Such were some of you. We were once one of those, but you are washed, you are sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord. Now glorify me with your body, for your body is my temple." Our temple, our bodies belong to Jesus Christ. And so we are to honor him by taking care of our body. It says in what you eat and what you drink, and the small, Paul made eating and drinking spiritual. It's a spiritual thing. We think it's so small, but it makes sense because we have to glorify him. We are his instrument. And if he has died on this cross so that we could be cleansed, so that we could be sanctified and justified by all of the things, do we not owe him our whole body from the inside out, our spiritual, our natural? Do we not owe him that? We are people who were created by the Most High God in his image, in their image. And he said, "Glorify me with your body. Glorify me in how you eat. Glorify me in how you drink. Glorify me in what you put into your body. What you don't put into your body. Glorify me." That's what he's saying, people. We have got to get to this place where every single thing, and we won't get it right ever. Like, we're never going to be perfect, right? But he gives us these instructions here. And we can get as close as possible as we can and continue to follow him and continue to create these great habits of glorifying him in all that we do. And it is hard. It's not an easy task. It takes discipline. It takes consistency. And God called us to do hard things. And so it's something that we can do. And then he says, glorify me in your pain and in your healing. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so no matter what you are going through in your weakness, he is made perfect because of his strength. That was the whole point of the cross. He was strong in going to the cross. Did he want to give it up? Yeah, he did. But did he? He said no. He knew what the purpose was for each and every one of us coming behind him. And so in your weaknesses, leaning on the Lord, there's somebody else coming behind you. There's somebody that is assigned to you that may not get Jesus unless you open your mouth. But if you're not glorifying him in the things that you do, the smallest things that you do, they may miss the mark. And then that's on us, right? And so he will restore our weaknesses. That is what he said. He will restore us. Even by death, he will restore us. Because if we're living this life out and we are giving him the glory, we know where we end. That's restoration. Being restored to the King. Being restored to the God who created you. Going back home. And so how do we do this daily? How do we surrender ourselves each and every day to glorifying Jesus? 30 days before you walk into work, or 30 seconds before you walk into work, Lord, use me today. It's simple. Amen, right? Lord, use me today. Amen. Very simple. My son's teacher texted, I think she probably texted all of the parents yesterday just to tell something good about their student. And she told me all these great things about Trey and all of this stuff. And I was like, oh, thank you. Amen. Like, he loves you, all the things. And she said, every morning she wakes up and when she's on her way to work, she asks God for her light to shine through her to all her students. And my son is in public school and I worry about that sometimes, but I praise God when he gets a Christian teacher. But she talks about openly how she asked for God to shine his light in her. What if we all did that each and every day? No matter what interactions you had, God, shine your light in me so that I can see people the way that you see them. So I can be a difference maker in someone's life just by saying hello to them at the gas station. You know what I mean? We don't know what mindset anybody's in. And so we glorify him in those moments just by starting our day off like that. Even after your prayer time, hey, Lord, use me today. How I surrender my heart, my mind, my thoughts. I surrender my emotions to you today. Like, use me today, Jesus. And then we make decisions with one question. Before you do something, ask yourself, does this glorify God? Is what I'm about to do, does that glorify him? What am I about to say? Does that glorify him? Very easy question, right? And we know what glorifies him if we stay in our word, right? We know exactly what that is if we stay in our word. I used to play basketball and before I had my son, and I used to be in the gym all the time. And I feel like the confession. I was thinking about this yesterday and I was like, what? Because I've been trying to get back into playing, but it's like, I can't do it. And so I kept praying about it, thinking about it. And God was like, you don't know how to act when you play basketball. And And I was like, huh? And it's like, my flesh rises up and you just get back to the old self, you know, very quickly and easily because it's something you're passionate about, something that you did so long. And so when I used to play, you know, I used to say some bad words and I used to talk noise. And God was like, I have taken that away from you. So you have to let that go. And I'm just trying to find a way to exercise my body that glorifies him. And that has been my struggle because basketball was something I loved. But he was like, nope, like I've graduated you from there. You got to let that one go. And so it is a hard thing because sometimes you don't want to do those things. But he was like, Tierra, no, you know, like we got to move on from this. And so it still hurts. So sometimes when we let go of things, it will still hurt. There is no, you know, but you obey God, you glorify him in your decision, and he will reward you. He will figure out a way, because now my sons, they love basketball, so I get to kind of be a part of that. My husband, he loves basketball, so I get to be a part of it in that way. But making sure that it glorifies the Lord. And so if I'm not able to play basketball and glorify the Lord in doing so, then that's not something I need to be doing. And then the last thing that we need to do is repent quickly to get back in alignment. When we have done wrong, we need to be sure that we can admit and take accountability for our wrongdoings. The Bible calls us to repent. In our repentance, we glorify him. He loves when we are honest with ourselves, but he already knows what we've done. He knew that we were going to do it before we even did it. And I have to remind myself of that sometimes because I'm like, man, like, I can't believe I did that. Like, that's not what I meant to do. And you have to repent. You have to ask for forgiveness. And you got to get back in alignment with his word, get back in alignment with his path, his journey that he has for you, and just be obedient. It does not mean that we're not going to mess up, y'all. It doesn't mean that. It means that you are striving for righteousness. You are striving to walk this walk with God, and he knows our hearts more than anybody else. But he also knows when you're trying to play him, right? He knows when you're not doing it for real. And so we got to be very careful with that. If you're going to give him a yes, give him a true yes. Give him a righteous yes. Like, Lord, I am going to surrender. God, I'm going to mess up. But help me to walk this thing out in honesty. Help me to walk this thing out in your glory, like so that I can glorify you. Because as you are walking this out and you mess up and you hold yourself accountable, a person who does not hold themselves accountable will see the glory in you from the Lord. That comes from nobody but God. Jesus is an honest spirit, trustworthy. And that's what we have to model ourselves as well. And so as we continue to be led by the Lord for his glory, anything that stands in our way, anything that keeps us from Jesus Christ, we have to throw away or set aside. And outside of that, from the time you wake up in the morning to the time you go to bed, does this glorify God? And you've got to ask yourself this multiple times throughout the day. Me, myself, it's my mouth. And so I'm just like, Lord, am I glorifying you? I'm not glorifying you right now in the words that I'm saying, right? And so we have to be sure that we continuously ask ourselves, Lord, does this glorify you? Am I glorifying you in how I speak? Am I glorifying you in how I'm walking this walk? Is it really a true heart change and posture for myself? And so we're in a time where God is, he's not playing with us and he's on his way to come and get us. He's getting ready. And we are in here and the roads are crazy and some people have lost all this electricity and all of the things, right? And are we glorifying God in all that we do? Are we glorifying him in these days that we're at home? We have got to pray and we've got to sit at his feet and we have to be in our word and we have to lift him up and honor him and worship him. That's all he wants, is our glory, how we glorify him. We're going to worship all in heaven, singing holy, holy, holy. And we might as well practice now. I say that all the time in my sermons. We might as well practice now and have a good time in the Lord. Y'all know how it feels when we connect and when His Spirit falls upon us. And so I want to end with this last scripture. Galatians 4:19 says, "My little children," and this is from Paul, he says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." And it goes on in verse 20, but Paul here was talking about how he is travailing for the Galatians to allow Christ to be inside of them. And I know every pastor that's preaching the true word of God right now, that's what we try to do for the people we preach to. And I feel that's what God is wanting. He is travailing for us. Jesus is travailing and mediating for us to just have Christ within us. It's a birthing pain. It hurts when you see people that don't know God. And so it's something that we desire. It's something that we want, because when you're called to preach the word of God, you answer this calling that says, "You are my vessel, and you are to preach to the people, and you are to feed them the word that I give you," right? God gives us the word. We don't come up with this on our own. The Lord downloads it into our spirit, and we put it on paper, and we preach the word to glorify Him. And so our world is in this painful place, travailing. And all we want is for Christ to be embedded into your spirits and your hearts, our hearts, consistently. And so everything that we do, people of God, should be for the glory of God. Everything that we speak should be for the glory of God. Everything that we think in our own minds about ourselves should be for the glory of God. He loves each and every one of us. And so as I close, I pray that in this moment, if you will stand with me, that you would come to the Lord in yourself. And I'm going to pray here in a second, but I want you to be thinking about, is this a time where you need to rededicate your life to Jesus? Or are you in a great place and you just need to go harder for Him? Pastor talked about the four different followers this morning. I urge you, if you did not get to see it this morning, go back and watch it and figure out which follower you are. And then come back to this message and figure out where you are and what you need to do in order to glorify God with your life. So let's pray. Heavenly Father God, Lord God, we thank you for this word. God, this may be a word that we all already know, Lord, but the fact that you show us that in every little small detail that we do throughout the days and each and every day, Lord God, that we can glorify you. We can glorify you when we sleep, when we wake up, when we eat, Lord God, that we just mention you and honor you in that, God. And God, we ask that you would just help us to shine our lights each and every day. We ask that you would help us, Lord, to continue to be your vessel throughout that day, and that in moments where we don't know whether this thing glorifies you or not, Lord God, that we would ask ourselves, does this glorify you, Jesus? And so, God, we thank you so much, Lord, for the word that you provided. We pray that it didn't fall on faulty hearts, but that it fell on hearts of flesh, and that we would be able to apply this as we go forward, oh Lord. So God, and for those who need to rededicate themselves to you, Lord, we pray for surrender. We pray for a moment of truth, oh God, where they can reflect and see what we need to do, oh God, to be better in you. And so God, we love you so much, and we honor you, and we lift you up. It's in your Son Jesus' name.
Amen. I know it's only a few of us here in the sanctuary, but give Sister Tierra for bringing the word of the Lord this morning. Those that have joined us by webcast, we really appreciate you all being here. We were few in numbers this morning, but the Lord still brought his word. Amen. We live in a dying world, and bringing glory to the Father, through the way that we live our lives in front of people, is very vital right now. We are the salt. We are the light of the world. His Spirit is in us. So let's show those that we come in contact with that there is pure love, and that pure love happens only through Jesus Christ. And in that, we are bringing him glory. Amen. If you haven't given already, we do need your support. Those that are joined us by webcast, there are many ways to give. We thank you so much for your support as well. Please don't forget February 22nd during the first service and the second service. Mr. Torrence Nash will be with us to give us the word of the Lord. And last but not least, our friends and family in Pakistan, they do need our help. The children's mattresses are wearing down. They need 30 mattresses. If we could all come together and raise that money for them, each mattress is $90 each. The way to give to that part of the ministry, if you go on the kiosk, there's a part on there that says give to the mattress. Or if you're giving through the envelope, just write mattresses on the envelope. So let's come together and help our brothers and sisters in Pakistan. Amen. Since we are standing, let's pray our way out and dismiss. Father, we thank you again for bringing us all here this morning, keeping us safe on the road, and just opening your word up to us and reminding us what we are here for, to bring you glory, to lead and proclaim your word to others that need to know it, that need to hear it, so that they may be saved as well too. Father, as we depart from here, we ask that you be with every person to get us home safely or wherever we going, Father. We thank you for your protection in all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.